Asai Tiftuch, Fi, Yagita Vasecha. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure once again to be able to address you. 5 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago tonight, was Rosh Hashanah. And it's interesting how time flies, especially when you're having fun. Yossi Jacobs has in his possession cards such as this. They are blank. And I'm suggesting it to you, and I'm for a public service, I brought it here, that if in your tefillin bag you yet do not have any identification or contact information, you could take a card from him later on and put it in your tefillin bag. There have been times, often enough, unfortunately, where people go here, there, or anywhere, and you know, if they don't have the contact information and their tefillin is lost, then it becomes a problem. I was at the bus station recently, where a lady came in and was looking for her husband or son's tefillin, and she was, without a doubt, it was not simple. So if you have contact information, it's there and it's available for you. I hope you do. I anticipate for myself a certain difficulty that I'm going to share with you. And this goes back to, I've probably mentioned it along the way, but certainly because of the situation that we are going to be having this week in the elections process in America, so this is going to be very relevant. Some years ago, Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, spoke to Rav Yankel Galinsky, a famous Magid in Bnei Brak, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Rav Yaakov said and asked, Rav Shach asked Rav Yaakov, it was election time, he wanted to know who is the president, who was chosen, who's the president. So Rav Yaakov Galinsky said to him, they were very close. What does the Rav Shach really care who the president of the United States is? So he said, well, I make a bracha, we make a bracha of Shalom Asani Goy, and I want to know who to have in mind. Because when I say, thank you Hashem for not having made me a non-Jew, so I, not thinking about the fellow who is the, who sweeps the floor, or the fellow who delivers whatever it is, I'm talking about the Spitz. In the eyes of the world, the most powerful person in the eyes of the world. And that's what I have in mind when I'm saying, thank you, Hashem, for not making me someone like this, that I am who I am. Okay? So when I heard this, I stay every day here, for the Amud, the Shalom Asani Goy. And at that moment, I decided I'm going to think of Obama and of Putin, because these two people are probably, within the non-Jewish world, the people who have the most power in all this. Because people don't know of others who really have more power than they, but Lozanezai, Shalom Asani Goy. Now, there used to be a certain veneer, a certain facade, a certain cover of respectability for the position of the president as such. And, George Washington. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, it doesn't make any difference. But the idea is, who was he? He was a person, when they said, George, did you chop down the cherry tree? So George says, I remember this as a child hearing this. He said, I did it. I cannot tell a lie. I did it. And you can, all these things are authenticated. You can see this all over if you wish. Or Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States. It is said, Honest Abe. Honest Abe. Now, why is he called Honest Abe? Because he had a job in a store, And he one time found that he overcharged someone by 6 cents. And he walked after store hours 3 miles to return the 6 cents. So this, of course, this is a laudable thing. It's an honest aid. And, you know, and then, you know, and even then, despite these laudable characteristics, there's no reason to debunk them. So Zion, they happen. The fact is, Shalom HaSanigoy, Baruch Hashem, Aleinu Shabeach Adon HaKol. Thank you, Hashem. Shalom HaSanu. You didn't make us a non-Jew. Baruch Hashem. Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. We've always been very thankful. Now I will tell you, for Shteitzach, after Tuesday, I'll adjust just like we'll all adjust. But we know that the gutter level, the low type of lowness, the humiliation and all that, okay, Gamze Yavor, etc. As I said 5 weeks ago, that the election really took place 5 weeks ago, the decision, it'll be announced after this Tuesday, and whatever it is, you know, but that's the fact. It's Yilev Malachim B'Yad Yad Hashem, V'chol Maminim, that the Kaddish Baruch Hu is the one who's Mamlech Malachim V'lo HaMalucha. That, fine, it was fine. But this is what he has to work with, you know? It ain't on his aid. And it's not the cherry tree set up. That's it. Our lives as Jews, we have to understand, are very different, even from the best of the situations, the best. You know, in the 1800s, in the English Parliament, there was the Prime Minister was a man named Benjamin Disraeli. Benjamin Disraeli came to Parliament, he's a Jew. And when he was there, there were catcalls, Jew, Jew! And he took it with pride, and he said in front of everybody, he said, I want you to know, that when your ancestors were in the caves of Dover, mine were priests in the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. Okay, listen. Fun. Kachi. I was on a bus this past Erev Shabbos, just before I met, I met you an hour later. So, it's a fellow there, without a yarmulke, a little boy next to him. You know, hi, you know, good morning. I see he has an accent, which is a little different. And I say to him, you know, hey, you know, where are you from? He said, I'm from New Zealand. I said, oh. And I say, something like, you know, you here for a little while? He says, well, I'm going to be here for 2.5 years. I said, are you Jewish or non-Jewish? I'm non-Jewish. So I say, you know, I'm a friendly guy. For those of you who don't even know me at all, I am a friendly guy. And this goes in. I say, why are you here for 20 years? He said, well, I came with my Christian church sent me with my wife. She's there with the two other kids. And we're here, I'm involved in films, and I'm here because we feel that you are God's children. You are God's people. And I don't like the way that people are saying things that are not true about you, so I'm involved in making films to be able to set things straight. Ooh, okay. We had a nice conversation. Except his name is James. And, you know, we didn't get too friendly, but fine. It was nice. And the fact is that it reminded me of something I saw in the Lekach Tov. It's a beautiful, beautiful sperm. And there, you had Jewish people who were in Chicago in some public building speaking Ivrit. They were from Eretz Israel. And a man comes over to the fellow who's speaking to his wife and he says, tell me, what language are you speaking? He says, I'm speaking Hebrew. He says, are you Jewish? The man, he says, yeah, I am Jewish. He says, I'm from Mexico, a small city in Mexico. You're the first Jew I've seen, but I've read about you in the Bible. And you're God's children. You're God's people. I'm like, you know, we... And then, find there's a lapse a little bit, and then he comes over to him before this family left or went into their office and had to see somebody, and this non-Jew says to him, tell me, he says, with a lot of reverence and respect, he says, tell me, do you, God's children, do you think about the same things that we think about and speak about the same things that we speak about? And I said to myself when I heard this, you know, I'm telling you the way it is, the way it's written, and the way it happened to me, and this, I wish I thought about myself enough to be able to say, I am God's person. I am part of God's children. You know, I guess I do in a certain way, but more actively. What a wonderful thing, Pasha, that they have this feeling for us. We normally are saying, you know, this one doesn't like us, and this one, it's all, that's true too, you know. But there is, and even the ones who hate us have this begrudging understanding of, you know, Kimitzion, Tesei Tzor, you know, there's no Shiloh. People watch us on the bus, on the train, in the supermarket, everything like this. When I get onto a bus, and people stand up to give me their seat, they figure, you know, this old guy gets on, give me a seat quickly, fine. So if whether I take it or not, and you know I like to stand, but sometimes I do whatever. Whether I say to the boy or man, whoever's doing it, sometimes even a woman, I say, you know, this is a simon for midos tovos and good chinuch, and I want you to know you made a kiddush Hashem. Not just because there may be non-Jews on the bus as well, or the train, or whatever it is, but the fact is, even Yidden who are there, some of them are not observant. See a young person get up for an older person. This is the opportunity, because we are on candid camera all the time. Baruch Hashem, because we are children of God, there's no shiloh. We're different, there's no shiloh. I saw recently, a Seferis tells over that the turn of the century before the Russian Revolution, 1918, the Tsar was in charge, and he had this plan to, you know, to melt everybody into the pot, especially the Jews he wanted to see, that would give up their religion, etc., etc. And they take young Jewish children, take them away for 25 years. 25 years! And by the time they sent them back, you know, in middle-aged men, any vestige of Yiddishkeit was finished. You know, that's it. A cantonist, they were called. Plenty of stories about them. Some made it back, and unfortunately, the others, you know, their descendants, you know, whatever. But they unfortunately didn't come back. So here you have a rebbe has a whole bunch of Hasidim coming in to see him for advice and brachas, just like we go. Things haven't changed. Baruch Hashem, you know, just like we go to see so-and-so and all that. They did this. This is the way it's always been. So a woman shows up, and while there's a lot of people, she should really have to wait a long time. And she shows up, and she sends her to the Gabbai. She sends her message. It goes into the Rebbe, and right away he says, let her come in. And she comes in, right? And she said, well, she wrote, she's like this, I want you to pray for my son that he should die. Now this is not, should die. And she explains to them, that's why he took her right away, because it's not often that a person gets a letter from, you know, to, should die. So I want you to know, it doesn't say what had he made, if he agreed to do something like this, but she told them the following. She says, my son was taken in as a boy into the Russian army, and I'd rather have him die pure than whatever's going to happen to him, it'll be a non-Jew. And he listens, and you know, and sure enough, a period of time later, the boy came home dead. Okay? And she was not upset at the funeral. We are a different person, a different people. And this, to a mother, how much she loved that child, that she wanted to make sure the child would come, as he came in pure, he would leave pure. I want to share this. This came out 2 weeks ago in Voices. It's in the Modia. And anyone who wants a copy of it, somebody wants a copy of this later on, I'll give it to somebody. You can just Xerox it and give it back to me later on. So, you know, they have an article about the Holocaust. Survivors speak. Says a woman, Mrs. R. Stroth, and she is speaking about when she was in a cattle car to Auschwitz with her father, Alav HaShalom, Hashem Yakum Domo, and the rest of her family. So she writes like this, and it gives you an idea too. They're in this cattle car, and they're it's in the summertime, they haven't drunk anything for a long time, and they're suffering and everything, and they say a German agrees to give them water if they'll pass out some of their clothing through the wire-covered window. And fine, he actually does it. You know, very often they said, here, give it. People gave it, and then they said, but this one gave. And now they gave out, they allocated water, giving each one a small amount. And now I'm going to read it the way it is, because I couldn't do justice to it. But when it was my father's turn to get some water, everyone watched in shock. Instead of drinking the water, my father took the precious liquid and used it to wash his fingers. The people shouted at him, how can you do that when you could drink this precious water? My father took his film in his hands and replied, I am suffering from thirst just like all of you. But even more than that, I am suffering from being unable to put on film for 5 days. It is already afternoon. I want to put on my film when I can. Do not be angry with me. I have these tefillin since my bar mitzvah, and I have put them on every day except for Shabbos and Yom Tov. We all know that this is our final day, and we'll soon arrive at our destination. I want to put on my tefillin and pray once more and thank God for the life He has given me and which He might take away from me at any minute now. I was born a Jew. I want to die a Jew. And with these words, my father began to daven like I never have seen him before. I looked up to him, and he appeared to me like an angel. At that moment, I resolved that if I ever get out of this misery, I will remain a worthy daughter to my father. I'll never forget what Yiddishkeit meant to him, and will try to live up to his wishes, come what may. Only a short time later, the train stopped at Auschwitz, and we were separated in the infamous selection, and I never saw my dear father, mother, and most of my family again. But those few drops of water are my father's words from the heart. In those dreadful moments have accompanied me all my life. They have given me the encouragement to try to live up to my father's ideals and not to shame him. Okay, I'm sure she's done her job. The fact is that we are different, and the more that we appreciate our difference, not by putting other people down, but by building ourselves up as such, that is what it is. And as no Shiloh, we become different people. Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livroch, he was the brother of Rav Noach. He was one of my Rebbeim. After my major Rebbe, Rav David Kronglass, Zecher Tzadik Livroch, was Nifter, Rav Yaakov became my major Rebbe. So I remember him speaking to us. We were high school students, probably 11th and 12th graders at the time. And he said to us, I've mentioned to you before, what do you want to be? And this one wanted to be a Rebbe, a banker, a businessman, like a teacher, whatever it is. She says, no. He says, that's what you want to do. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? And you want to be a Ben Pyre. And that's it. Here we are. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? You know what is, they say to me, you, Rosie, you were a principal. I say, I was never a principal. For 41 years, what did you do? You know? I was never a principal. I did that job. Boy, after I left the schools, after I came to here, when I vanish, I'm not around anymore. I did it to my occupation, my profession. And yeah, I put a lot, Baruch Hashem, you know, Mechas Hashem shouldn't be Ramiya. But I was, that's not what I was. I tried to be a Ben Torah, now too. That's the way it goes. Rav Yaakov made an impression. Here are, you've heard this, no doubt you must have heard it over the weekend. Beis Medrash is a teva. This is the teva. I saw a beautiful, beautiful article by, who puts out the beautiful article on paper? Rabbi Farchi, there is. Kedai for everybody to read the first article he has on this past week's. Whoa, did he have a beautiful, beautiful thing. Kedai to see it as such. But this is the teva. We have, you know, this is our GPS should direct us to the Beis Medrash, the Beis Medrash. What an opportunity. What do we have? A shrainer that we do. I was in a cab this afternoon. So I said, I'm going to a certain place that's not well known. So I say to the cab driver, so-and-so. And he says, fine. He says, do you know how to get there? I said, you just didn't have to call. He had no GPS or anything there. He says, this is my GPS. I've been driving for X number of years. I know everything. This is my GPS. And I thought of it, our GPS, Beis Medrash, and this is where, amongst Chaveira, amongst Rebbeim, that we can get the honest feedback that can help us to grow. That's the name of it all. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want to grow. I spoke to enough of you who said, listen, in high school it was this and this, but I came here because I want a shot at growing. And that's it, Baruch Hashem. You know, people say to me, Rabbi Rosenbaum, where did you grow up? And I say to them, I'm still growing. And I am. I'm growing up, you know. There's one place, you know, when people stop growing up. And Muslim, you know, Bizlahud and Svansik for that. We're still growing, and this is, we have one every Sunday that we have. And this is the place, with Chaveim, with Rebbeim. There's a Gemais in Gittin, Daf Mem Hei Amid Aleph in Gittin. You're in Gittin, you'll see about the person's name is Ilish. Ilish was an Amora who was captured by non-Jews. He had another non-Jew as a captive with him. This non-Jew knew the language of birds. Birds is very timely for Parshas Noach. So he said, the bird that's flapping on the window, or whatever, it came close by it. And you know, so Ilish says to the non-Jew, What's he saying? So he says, he's saying, Ilish Barach, Ilish Barach, Ilish, flee, flee. So Ilish realizes that if it's the wrong time and his captors get him, he's going to die. By the way, that's what happened to this non-Jewish fellow who could tell you what birds are talking about. The captors later on, when they did run away, they caught him and killed him. So he's now, I'm not going to trust the raven, not going to trust the urim, because I see he's not he doesn't take care of his shlichus properly. We saw what happened to Noah. And you know, he wouldn't leave the ark, and he went around and around, then came back. Fine, I'm not going to trust him. Now the dove comes, the yayna, same, what's he saying? Elish barach, Elish barach. So this time he listened, okay? So the Marsha says, why is it that Elish trusted the non-Jew? I mean, this is his life's at stake. He's not going to trust the Orev because I don't want to trust the Raven because he's not really trustworthy. Who says the non-Jew is trustworthy? And he's going to send them out and the people are going to catch him and kill him? So he says he understood. Listen carefully to this. He understood bird language too. And you have people like that who could, besides Shlomo HaMelech. There. Okay. So he understood. So therefore, what's the kasha? Ilish understood it. So he knew it was accurate. What's the kasha? So what does he ask the non-Jew for? And this is the key to what I'm telling you. What does he have to ask the non-Jew? What's he saying? You know what he's saying. See, here's the pshat. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, you know what the pshat is? Because people hear what they want to hear and see what they want to see. And very often I want so badly to do something that whatever, I see it's okay. It's a riot to this. This happened, that second, whatever it is. I talk myself into something from what I hear, I think, or what I see, I think. When the emes is, if somebody objectively would be able to talk to me about it, I'd see, no. This is not the way to go. So what he wanted to do, Ilish, he understood the bird, but does he really understand it? Or could he be possibly making a mistake? And therefore, I'll speak to somebody who's objective. It's not a Jewish fellow's objective. So he checked him out anyway to make sure that he heard it right. That's the idea. This is a beautiful place. I have a feeling about something. I can go to Shiva Mashkiach. I can go to be able to rebellion. I can go to friends. I have so many friends here. My roommates, my this. Doesn't have to be them. Can be somebody else. Can be an Avrech who I'm learning with or I'm not learning with. The opportunities are galore in this place. And nobody cares. You know, the beauty of it. They say about, it's a new sefer out about my Rebbe, the Rebbe Yitzchak Tuvia Weiss. Beautiful sefer. It says, he followed Rav Dessler. They didn't care if a person would go to their shiurim or somebody else's shiurim. The main thing is a person's growing and learning. It's not, I feel threatened, somebody's not coming to me, he's going to see another Rosh Hashiva. Fakir. You see, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, just like the Alta from Slobodka, Bachram could go other yeshivas, just learn. You want to speak to another Rebbe in the yeshiva? Another Rebbe. Nobody's going to feel like, how come he's going to him, not going to me? If it works for you, but the main thing is an Ilish, you want to get clarity and grow, because that's the name of the game, growth. Baruch Hashem. The Kutzker Rebbe said a beautiful word. He said, if we realized how pure we were after V'yamim tovim, we would pull out all stops. I'm sure you didn't use that lashon, you know? But I pull out all stops to be able not to let ourselves fall down. Because we really are at the cusp of real growth. And I see him not put it this way. Here we are at the winter zman. What an opportunity. The Gaivid, Rav Yitzchak Tuvia Weiss, is Lazan Gesund. He said one of the reasons why the Simchas Beis Shoeva was so a happy time, and now too, you all went to, who are here, Simchas Beis Shoeva is all over the place. What are they just dancing around? Simchas Torah, I have the Torah. But what's the other part for? Fine, it's the way it used to be. Simchas Beis Shoeva in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. But what are they so happy for besides the Avodah? It's that there's a joy that explodes after going through the pressure cooker of Elul and Tishrei, introspection, retrospection, the davening, hours and hours of davening and everything, and finally we made it, and we're not broken, we're strengthened. And this is the opportunity. This month, no Yamin Tovim. We make our own Yamin Tovim. No Alios of we're going to have Aliyahs made for Sukkis with a Sukkah, Lul of Esrig and all. No! We're going to make our own Aliyahs this month. And we're going to integrate everything that we got during the rest of the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us fantastic Simiyata Dishmaya to be able to do it. We just have to really go after it. The Chofetz Chaim gives a beautiful mashal about going after it. Because this is it. This makes the difference in our lives, you know? You're young enough to be able to set a course now that makes a difference. It makes a difference for the rest of your life. Chofetz Chaim tells over about a fellow who after shul runs over to a very, very wealthy guy. And he says, listen, he says, I need money. I need X number of dollars. Please, I know you're a good man. Please let me have it and all that, and I'll get all the Oravim you need and all that. Fine. So the man says to him, fine, show up at my office 12 o'clock. And you know, he sees a real need. 12 o'clock, the guy doesn't show. Fine, things happen. Next that night, yeah, he gets the call. Oh, listen, I'm sorry about today, but tomorrow, please, I want to come, give him the same story. 12 o'clock, doesn't show. It comes a third day already, and the man who goes to his office and wants to see this fellow is a little bit put out. He says, listen, he says, I don't really think you're serious. Forget it. Don't bother to come. So, okay, you say, what a foolish guy. Okay. But how many of us fall into a position, a similar position, when during the morning davening, Avinu Malkeinu, Bavur Avoseinu Shabbat Chuvichol, please, Avinu, Ha'ov, Arachman, Father, Merciful One, Rachaim Aleinu, put in my heart to understand, La'hovin La'haskil, to hear, to learn, to teach, Lishmor, to keep, Horeinenu, enlighten my eyes in your Torah. Dabek li beinu, stick my heart to your Torah. Oh, my. That's in Shema, before Shema. And what happens? After davening, you'd figure the guy would sit down and learn in the Beis Medrash. Whether it's a halacha seder, whatever it is, or he'd be here certainly at 9:35 and before, as some of you guys are. And the fact is, and he'd sit down with Ritzifus, because I asked God, I want it, give it to me, please, I need it. And what happens? No. Guys, get stuck. You know, I get stuck in the lunchroom, get stuck in the this, the that, the this, whatever it is. Our key, Hashem says, I'm going to give you the Siyata Dishmaya, but just take it, because when you take it, you'll make it. And yes, Hashem, the Eberstein will help all of us to make it. Good job. Super duper.